Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sankofa Radio, where we travel to the past before we stop here in the present on our journey into the future. I'm your host, Ascari Donso. Tonight, man, we're going to have a little special episode. I'm going to interview my main man in a minute. It's called Growing Up in Prison. And we're going to discuss some of the effects of coming into adult facilities as a juvenile. One of the hidden truths about America's criminal justice system is that there are a lot of juveniles in the prison system who have to grow up and become men in here. We'll talk about that in a minute, but as always, I like to start the show off with a dedication. Tonight, I would like to dedicate this show to George Junius Steine. George Junius Steine was the youngest person ever to be executed in the United States. In 1944, the state of South Carolina, they executed him after he was alleged to have killed an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old white girl with a railroad spike. But there was no witnesses, there was nothing out there to suggest, no evidence out there to suggest that he actually committed this crime. The only evidence that they had was the sheriff had said that Steine had gave a confession. But a lawyer who was representing Steine actually said that, you know, he believed that because of mob pressure, that Steine ended up confessing, and there was never ever a confession ever found on record. So Steine, who was a seventh grader at the time, was killed and executed in 1944. So this is what I want to give my dedication to tonight, my man George Steine. My man Elliot, who we're gonna pull up in a minute. He's been in here since he was 16 years old. And I'm not going to go into his story. I'm going to let him talk to you a little bit. But he's one of the guys who I've encountered in this almost 20-year bid I've been doing. One of the many who came here when he was a juvenile. I came in here when I was 18 years old. You know, so I was barely an adult myself. And so I can relate to the struggles of being young and having to grow up in the prison system, some of the things that we face, some of the things we encounter, not having the experience, the craftiness, the physical stature, a lot of things to be able to, survive in this environment. It takes your will. It takes determination. And it takes survival skills. You know what I'm saying? And so that's some of the things we're going to get into tonight. Some of this history of the impact that the criminal justice system has had in this country here recently relates to the cruel and unusual punishment statute in the Constitution. The Eighth Amendment guarantees that all citizens of the United States will not be subject to cruel and unusual punishment. So they said in 2005 that the Supreme Court, that is, that it was cruel and unusual to execute juveniles. And so what we see is that from the time, the inception of the penal system in this country all the way up until 2005, it was legal to kill a juvenile in this country. It wasn't until 2010 that the Supreme Court said that, okay, you could not give a juvenile a life sentence. And that was only for juveniles who hadn't committed murder. And then in 2012, they came back and said that under any circumstance, juveniles couldn't get life sentences without parole. Right now, I want to check to see if my man Elliot has finally been able to join us. Elliot, you there, man? Elliot, is you with us? Okay, so Elliot ain't joined us yet. So what we're going to do while waiting on Elliot, man, I'm going to continue to add on about the impact that being a juvenile in the criminal justice system has on you. So one thing that I notice is that what's the first thing that's difficult for guys to have to deal with when they come in this environment is they have to try to figure out their place. Because as a juvenile, when you come into the prison system, you know, you're dealing with grown men. And even though you may have been in the street or you may have, you know what I'm saying, been involved in criminal activity or dealt with dudes, dealt with those who, you know, might have introduced you to adult ways of life, you're not developing as a man yet for real. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's one of the things, being able to relate and adjust and being able to spot predators. You know what I'm saying? And when I say predators, I'm not always talking about sexual, because that's the misconception. But you have predators who prey on all types of things. You have guys who may try to prey on a younger guy and get him to introduce him to his family or to intimidate him into giving him resources. The myriad of things that actually happens when young guys come into the system. So it's incumbent upon guys like myself and other guys to step in and prevent them from being victimized. But that being said, that's some of the challenges that they face. Another thing that they face is a lot of times juveniles don't understand the law. And if they have been victims of injustice or miscarriage of justice, a lot of times they don't really have the resources to be able, the educational resources to be able to prepare defense, to challenge the miscarriage of justice. That's another impact coming in here at a young age. One of the things I really see often with guys who come here at a young age, and this happened to myself, is that you come in without your brain being fully developed as we know now, and you don't really know how to manage your emotions. So being in such a constricted and constrained environment, what ends up happening is your response to a lot of things, you overreact. When I first fell, I would say maybe my first 3 years, I spent a large majority of them in the home in solitary confinement. And it was just because I had so much rage and I didn't really know how to deal with my anger. And so that prevented me from being able to interact and cope and resolve conflicts in a pro-social way. And this is something you see a lot of times, too. Now, what can happen to somebody who comes in here as a juvenile who doesn't really have the resources and the ability to manage this situation? They could, one or two things could happen. They could develop in a way, like my man Elliot, who I don't know if we're going to be able to get to him tonight. We might have to postpone that. But he's a great example of what some of the positive things that can happen when you get some positive role models and positive examples in your life that help you to manage and guide you in the right direction. But there are also times when times come to come. Oh, Elliot.
Can you hear me? I'm trying to get through now. I'm having technical difficulties on my side.
Okay, that's what's up. We was waiting on you, bro. Yeah, so look, I'm going to jump right into this, man. I'm talking about the impact, man, coming into an adult system as a juvenile, right? So what I was talking about, man, is how it is that juveniles cope. I think you could probably explain that better. First of all, man, how old was you when you came to the system, man?
Man, I was approximately the time I was 16 years old.
You were 16 years old. Okay, yeah, so let me ask you this. How do they determine which juveniles get tried as adults?
As a juvenile, they usually certify you according to the seriousness or nature of your crime.
Okay, so you had a serious crime?
Yes, sir.
What was you convicted of, if you don't mind telling the people?
At the time I was 16 years old, I was convicted of first-degree murder.
All right, first-degree murder. Now, I want to state to the people, you know, before we get started, that my man, Elliot, has always proclaimed his innocence since I've known him. I've been known him for many years now. He's always said he was innocent. And so I just want to put that for full disclosure. Even though he was charged and convicted with first-degree murder, he has always said he's innocent. Is that correct, bro?
Yes, sir, man.
All right, that's what's up. So, Let's dig into this. So at the time you got arrested, right? Who were the people that was the closest to you in your life?
At the time of my arrest, man, of course my immediate family, my mother, my brother, a friend of mine that's no longer with me, and my dear friend, LeVon Jackson.
All right. So, like, how old were they when you were arrested?
My mother was roughly 38 to 40. My brother was around 21. My friend that's no longer with me due to the circumstances was 17, and LeVon was maybe 16 at the time.
All right, so how old are they now?
Man, right now, 33, my mother roughly 50, my brother roughly 45, 43.
Right, okay, so basically you've been in prison about 17 years, right?
17 whole years.
All right, so out of 17 years, basically, that means you've been in prison actually longer than you was free.
That's right.
All right, so how, you know, how did that impact your relationship with your family, man?
Man, you know, after my conviction, man, you know, my mother was, man, was all the pieces, man. She had a nervous breakdown, actually, because she couldn't deal with the stress of her son being wrongly convicted by her sister. It also hurt my friendships, man, because, you know, you're moving around all the time. And the penal system, they make it hard as possible, man, for you to correspond with family and friends. So you know how that goes.
Man, look, we down to our last 60 seconds. I'm going to leave you with the last word before we roll out, man. We're going to do part two to this show, though.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, okay, well, always remember, everybody who's listening, man, the first step forward is going back to tradition. We have some technical difficulties. We're going to bring this back, man, and inform y'all. Hotep and Yehuru.